On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, folks? Redskins Talk Podcast is here. JP Finley. Big, big, big game for the Redskins. It's silly to call something a must-win, but it's awfully close, man. You guys know that. There's no reason for me to explain it to you. So what we're going to do is we have a really fun, packed show for you. I got a lot of dudes in on our preview for the Skins-Rams game. I got Tandler, as always, and then Mitch Tischler and Chick Hernandez joined us. We had a really fun debate. We discussed what the biggest matchup to watch, Skins versus Rams. But then we also talked about our over-unders. We made our picks. If you remember, I beat Tandler last week. It's a whole new week, whole new opportunity. We also wanted to thank all the folks that got into our survivor pool. It seems like the Texans knocked a bunch of people out, but it's double elimination. So if you got in, make sure you get your picks in. I actually won last week with the Rams. Tandler had the Steelers. So he and I are both surviving. If you can, make sure you're subscribing to the podcast and leave us some reviews. We always appreciate that. We got a huge interview in this one, too. You guys are really going to enjoy it. We got Junior Gallette, who opened up about a lot of things and is really one of the more interesting stories. You guys all know that. But listening to him talk is just, it's wild, man. The kind of the depths he went to work his way back, and now that he's back on the field, he can be a real difference maker for this team. You saw he got to Carson Wentz last week. Unfortunately, got called back from rookie Ryan Anderson. I think he was offsides. But Gallette still has that speed, and it wouldn't shock me if he gets one on Jared Goff, who's a guy that's way less mobile than Carson Wentz was. All right, we're going to go to the preview first, then to the interview. Here we go. Okay, it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty for this Redskins-Rams matchup. The Skins certainly need a win. You don't want to say anything's a must-win in Week 2, but it's as damn close as you can get to a must-win in Week 2 because you got the Raiders and then the Chiefs, two teams that look very good coming up. I think the Skins have a real shot at winning in L.A. Like we discussed, though, we're going four deep for our preview on this thing. As always, my man Rich Tandler is here. Tandler, say what's up.
Hey, what's up?
Well done, RT. All right. Now, I don't know if he remembers it. One Mr. Chick Hernandez has been on the podcast before. Do you remember that?
In the Studio B?
We've done that, but you and I did one where I think we were just on the phone, too, in the early stages of the podcast.
Absolutely, yes.
When you laughed at me saying, I owe you a beer.
Yes.
Which may still be the last sound you hear on this podcast.
Well, and still yet to pay off, which is nice.
I bought some beers in Richmond.
Not for me.
I certainly did.
Really?
I certainly did.
Why are you shaking your head, Mitch?
Well, and Mitch Tischler's here, local celebrity, who's backing me up because I definitely bought you beers in Richmond.
I was waiting for JP to introduce me, but he JP bought a lot of beers.
He might have bought beers, but Mitch drank them before I ever got my hands on them.
You got them, dude.
And JP doesn't remember buying them, so.
Come on now. This is a family podcast.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, good. Your daughter's proud.
So we're four deep. Tandler, Tischler, Hernandez, and Finley are here. This is the crew that's usually out at Redskins Park. We had a big meeting in Bethesda that got us all in studio together at once, so we thought it'd be a fun idea to sit down in the podcast studio and see if we can control ourselves enough to not use the F word and to talk about football for 15 minutes.
You can't curse?
Football was the F word.
Yeah. Football is the F word.
And fun.
And fun.
Yes.
And
Farfik Nugan.
Fans.
Fans.
It's all about the fans.
Fans. That's who we're trying to talk to. So let's try to not insult each other for the next 13 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Is fallopian with an F?
Oh, geez. I think that's a PH.
Okay.
Tandler, let's get down to business. Most important matchup, Skins versus Rams. And I'm putting you on the spot. So I have mine if you want me to go first.
Yeah, go first.
I know it's his first game back, and I know he's missed the last 6 weeks of football between training camp, preseason. Aaron Donald versus who I think will be Brandon Scherff. It could be Sean LaValle. Spencer Long will have to help. The Eagles' defensive line beat the hell out of the Redskins' offensive line throughout that game. I did a story kind of looking at Kirk's numbers,
ding, ding,
where he was pressured versus when he wasn't. When he wasn't pressured, he completed 68% of his passes, which is roughly the amount of completion percentage he's had the last two seasons.
English.
When he was pressured, that number dropped to 40%. They got to try to protect him. And that's independent of blitzing. That's just pressure.
True. Oh,
so, well, I bet those are similar numbers to a lot of quarterbacks
sure,
out there.
I get that.
Everybody is.
But Kirk
is
had a particularly poor game under pressure.
He should be better, you know, if he's going to average 68% of the year, he's got to do like 75%. When he's not under pressure to make up for the times he is under pressure.
The delta shouldn't be that big. It shouldn't be nearly 30% from no pressure to under pressure.
He was also under pressure
a
lot.
That is his.
Agreed.
No, I think if you look back, I think if you have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, you're going to have a guy who's much worse under pressure, which is why you have to keep a solid offensive line in front of him.
Agreed. I don't need to dive into metrics, but if he's under pressure less often, his good quarterback play percentage is going to go up. The more times he's under pressure, the tougher it gets to escape from those situations.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Well, that's what
I'm saying, but that's why the delta's so big, because Kirk spent all game in week one under pressure.
And some guys, even though they're under pressure, handle pressure better. If you saw the Monday night game, Vikings.
No.
Bradford. He had pressure and made some throws under pressure. You just went, holy crap, not cursing.
He played well.
Certain guys handle the pressure. Historically, Kirk has not been one of those guys.
I'd argue in spots, Kirk has handled it well. I mean, there's always that five-game stretch of 2015 where he was hitting guys under pressure. But the last year, and certainly week one, the pick he threw to Crowder was all pressure. That guy wasn't going to hit him. He had time to make that throw.
Wasn't throwing to Crowder, by the way. That's the sad part.
That
according to Kirk himself, eyes were on Pryor, which is it's not the prize.
Troubling, right.
Okay, but real quick, he did know one of his good plays under pressure was it was a 3rd and 10 in the third quarter, the one to Mike Quick where he had Chris Long just
Mike Quick
screaming
played
at him.
Eagles in the 70s.
Okay, that's his father actually.
We're all about lineage here.
Quick.
Brian Quick.
Do you have that jersey in your closet?
Chris Long, not Howie Long, but Chris Long came screaming at him unblocked. He dodged him, went laterally to his left, stopped. Fired Quick. Now that is what we need to see more of out of Kirk Cousins if he's going to be
certainly
effective.
Jay Gruden feels that way.
Nice catch by Quick also, who we weren't sure was going to make the team.
Right,
yeah, right. That's a good point. All right, so I'm saying the interior of that offensive line versus Aaron Donald. And I know Aaron Donald's just coming back, but that guy's a horse. Taylor's taking a sip of water, so we'll go to Mitch Tischler for his matchup to watch.
I'm going with Cooper Kupp against
Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, going a little bit deep against
deep cut.
Kendall Fuller, who had a great game week one, but we all know what McVay's offense does and loves hitting those quick guys in the slot, and Kupp had a huge week one, so I think that he opens things up on the outside if he's able to dice up that in the middle of the defense there.
I like it. I want to pull up Kupp's numbers. He was really impressive. Rookie, first game in the NFL.
It's tough to take a lot out of that Rams-Colts game.
That Colts team is terrible. Terrible.
And Matt Jones couldn't even make it, but that's besides the point.
They'd be bad with Andrew Luck. Without
him,
they're pathetic. Right.
However, we know how much Sean loves to use those slot guys. You saw the big numbers Crowder put up last year.
Yep.
So
76 yards and a TD for Kupp last week. So you're right. Kendall Fuller's got to be ready. And Fuller played well, but
Fuller wasn't tested as much with the Eagles because
but he was
goes
better
so much
than
to,
he's been.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Better
absolutely.
Than he's been. You were surprised when you saw, oh, look, that play. When he read the lateral, I mean, he read that so yeah. early.
The whole the defense played well against those screens throughout the game, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Chick, your matchup.
I'm a big fan of not so much the players, and I think I did this last week too. It's the matchup of Sean McVay versus Jay Gruden. There are egos at that level.
Sure.
And while Sean McVay was happy to get the head coaching job, when he leaves and sees the schedule, I guarantee you, game one was huge for him, and this is huge for him. And Jay Gruden on the other side is going, man, I cannot let this guy pummel us. And so they are doing everything in their power to figure out scheme-wise. Because the players are going to play, and they have to win their matchups, but if one coach can put the other team, you know, at a disadvantage scheme-wise, this thing could run downhill for either squad, and that's what I'm looking for, to see how mature Sean McVay is in his early coaching career to stick to his plan and not want to go, you know, like, 'cause what happened last week, unrelated to what I'm saying right now, but what happened the first two offensive players of each squad? It was chuck it.
Right.
And I
could have been six for the Skins.
Could have been if you know, if Terrell thought there was a ball in the air, it would have been great.
That was a bad throw, man. I
wasn't a great throw, but your receiver had no idea where the ball was, and it's in the sky. We all saw it.
Yeah,
come
on. All right. So what is the matchup? You're saying Jay versus Sean?
Jay versus Sean.
I like that one. That's a good call.
That's my matchup.
You guys remember as the NFL was releasing the schedule, they put out that video of certain coaches as they were on the phone with the league and. You saw Sean's face light up when he saw Redskins week two.
Yeah,
and you heard him talk,
oh
my God, this is going to be a tough game week two already, that early in the season. So to Chick's point, it's going to be interesting.
All right.
Okay.
Before we get to Tandler real quick.
I'm not taking a sip of water now.
Well, just hang on.
You were parched before. Tandler's parched.
We haven't talked about our survivor pool real quick, and I want to do that because we've gotten a ton of feedback. Tandler, you still get to
way
go.
More important than
you're such a hurry. Much more important than interrupting the
you hadn't the started
bit.
Yet, so I wasn't interrupting you. We need to credit all the people that we have 160 people making picks. They're not important.
We have
Tandler?
160 people?
160
How about that,
people.
Guys?
That's pretty impressive.
Way to go.
That's good. I'll give you a golf clap.
So,
no, I can't. Sorry.
Tandler, what was your pick?
The Steelers.
And you hit.
Yep.
Mitch, what was your pick?
Falcons.
Which hit.
Ooh. Luckily.
Mr. Yes. Chick, did you get in?
I was not in.
All right. Yeah. That's that's a big for Mr. Chick.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was having
a
life.
I hit. And dude, you and your life. The rest of us don't have a life. You can't 6 minutes online. Yeah. I know you're online more than 6 minutes.
Well, that's for videos.
Way more.
I picked the Rams, and I think I'm the only person in our league that picked the Rams. I'm going through here briefly. A ton of people lost with the Texans who got boat raced. So good news for franchise tagger, Krafizzle's picks, S. Dunlop, MTCM 62, Raz 6421. It's double elimination. So make sure you make a pick this week, fellas or ladies, and you still got a chance. The people that haven't made a pick, make sure you make one, because if you lose two in a row, you're out.
I guess that's too late for me.
And the survivor pool winner gets what, Tandler?
5 minutes on the show, and maybe even more if you're better than JP.
The way this
heck,
is going,
we could give you the keys.
That's
the
key.
Take the keys. All right. Take it.
Well, I wasn't going to bring this up, but you also get to pick an item of your choosing out of Rich Tandler's closet.
No.
If you're a lawyer, that doesn't count because we're not sure if that's legal. But if you're not a lawyer, that's the prize.
And it might be that Mike Quick jersey.
Yeah, the Mike Quick jersey.
Science and Kurtz just called on line one, by the way.
Speaking of Mike Quick, Tandler, what is your matchup to watch?
Oh, I'd forgotten.
Yeah, we knew that.
You're such a pain in the ass. Come on, dude.
Okay, we've had player
you want
player matchups. We've
you want some water? You want an iced coffee?
Go ahead.
Set this up. We've had player matchups.
Can I get
we've
a pizza off your shirt?
Coach matchups.
Taylor's wearing
red,
a blue gingham shirt,
red.
For the record.
It's not red. You're right.
Okay.
That's great radio when we talk about stuff.
South Italy. Go ahead.
We do have a camera in here. Maybe they could take a picture. But
that's great.
Okay, mine is a coach player matchup.
Ooh.
Greg Minuski, Jared Goff. Goff was awful last year.
Awful.
He was awful.
He was putrid.
And so all of a sudden on Sunday against the Colts, again it was the Colts, he is looking like an NFL quarterback and maybe a pretty good one.
You know why?
Why?
How long has Sean McVay been there?
Yeah,
McVay
exactly.
Helps.
Well, yes, exactly. So what Greg Minuski has to do is probably with relatively little tape of Goff under McVay to look at, he has to figure out how to stop him. And he can't have, you know, He had 117 quarterback rating. If Goff has that, there's no way the Redskins are going to win.
Okay, but Minuski last week had a year's worth of tape on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz's line is 26 of 39, 307, two touches and a pick.
Okay. But Wentz did a great job with his feet. I don't
think you can't scheme a lot of what
robots.
I did.
Yeah. Jared Goff, not quite, well, not as mobile what's his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so
what Wentz did was impressive.
It was, man. Because they got pressure. They had pressure. And even my guy Trevor Mattis on the show said, well, you know, it was about angles. I'm sorry. He sucked a couple of guys in and made that spin move out and was just an athletic move, got it done.
What Wentz did, I mean, that first touchdown pass to Nelson Aguilar, I know it's become kind of in vogue to blame Swearinger for maybe giving up deep coverage, and Swearinger missed a tackle at the 10. If he makes that tackle, who knows, maybe they hold him a 3, whatever. They were in coverage for 9 seconds on that play. Somebody's getting open.
It's a flag football play right
now. How about Zach Brown? Now, granted, he got called in the grass. He was called down. Mm-hmm. Zach Brown had both arms wrapped around Carson Wentz and was holding on, and Wentz was still able to – he switched the ball to his left hand and threw it. I mean, for a play that didn't count, that was one of the more impressive plays I've seen.
Jonathan Allen had two hands on him on that play, too, and missed.
Yeah.
A lot of guys touched him.
Yeah, and I don't think Goff will be able to escape that.
I don't think so either. No. I think they bring the house again this week.
But I think it's – so that's – I mean, isn't that the point, whether they have to blitz to get to Goff or whether the front four can get there by themselves?
Well,
because you know how much Sean likes those quick passes I was talking about. You can't blitz if they're three-step drops and out.
The onus is now on those backers to make sure that that first 5-6 yards, you got to be on your guy.
Well, and here's the problem is the defense certainly looked better, played better. I think Minuski called a more aggressive scheme. But still, Taylor, was it 4 plays of 3rd and 8 or more that they converted?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's not the same stuff we saw last year with Joe Barry, when Joe Barry was tended to just drop into coverage, and I just, you got to go, especially Jared Goff, a guy that was terrible last year. He's got one good game under his belt. I think if you get a 3rd and 11, you go get him, man. You don't come into dime and just wait for him. I think it's fine if you bring your dime coverage, but send one of those corners and send your dime linebacker. Yeah.
They might send Will Blackman, and he's not on the team.
Jeez. He lives out there, though.
He lives out there, yeah.
Thank you. Hey, you guys picked it up quickly. Well done.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. So we set our over-unders earlier this week. Taylor didn't quite understand that we were setting them and not picking them.
Right. Because it was a new thing, because you just came into the podcast, didn't tell me what you're going
to
do.
Right.
And all of a sudden, while we're recording it, you decided to do it. But you're planned, okay? You're not winging it, but I'm winging it. It makes me look bad, which I can do on my own. I don't need your help to make me look bad.
Every episode of Redskins Nation I go on, Larry Michael never tells me what we're doing until he asks me the question when the camera's rolling. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah.
That's great. I've been doing that with him for 7 years.
Larry's fun, man. Keeps you on your toes for sure.
So Finley 2 years, Taylor 7?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
He keeps track of all those numbers.
I know he does.
Just like Finley 3-0, Taylor 0-3. And now let's get to over-unders.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. We need like a little sounder for that.
We need to keep track. So you
got a donut so far.
In one game, yes. I was.
We're not talking about what happened in Richmond.
I understand.
All right. So
don't drop the silverware.
We can... We'll start with Mitch, and we'll go whatever this direction is. Is that counterclockwise?
That's counterclockwise.
They don't know. They're listening.
Mitch is sitting across.
Now they're getting an idea.
We're giving a visual,
visuals,
dude. They have your shirt, don't tell.
They have the order of the
four directions. Dudes sitting around a table.
All right.
With microphones.
Happens all the time in my
Mitchell.
House.
Mitchell.
What do we got, JP?
Kirk Cousins passing yards, 265.
Quick question. Are we doing quick over-unders, or are we talking about it?
Relatively quick, but right. We're talking about
I'm going over 265. We talked a lot about the Redskins defense versus the Rams offense. I think Kirk gets back on track here. I think the Rams defense wildly overperformed against the Colts. We're going to see more than 265 yards.
Okay. Mr. Chick?
I'm with my guy, Mitch Tischler. Over 265. You can't put back-to-back stinkers up like – it won't happen. If that's the case, then – heads will
then
roll.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming, and heads begin
Do
to roll.
Do not go there.
All right, two overs. Taylor?
I'll go over. I think guys will...
Hold on, can I change my pick?
local comedian, Mitch Tischler.
Local celebrity. He's multi-platform.
Comedian, yes. No, I think the guys will hold on to... If if guys held on to balls last week, even though they might have still have lost, then he's probably over.
I'm calling a quick timeout. The drop narrative has gone way too far. There's one meaningful drop in that game that to me, the Terrell Pryor drop when they're pinned up against their own goal line was a really bad drop. What's the other really bad drop in that game?
Well, him missing, it wasn't a drop, but missing
the bad throw. That was a bad throw.
That's your narrative. Yeah. Okay.
Earlier in the
Others
game.
Others at the table disagree.
So it's here, but.
That's the late game. But that's the late one you're talking about.
There was one earlier, too, where it was not particularly
There was
perfect.
One to Jordan Reed that was a little high and behind him.
In practice, that being said, we're going, ooh, look at that one-handed grab. Ooh, what a great grab over somebody.
Yeah.
Didn't do it in the game. And let me tell you something. Alligator arms were part of that game.
I think you could see that, but there were a number of high and wide passes that
they're supposed to catch him.
Drops were not the problem for that offense. There was one bad drop.
Okay.
It was part of the problem, but it wasn't the problem.
They were a problem with Kurt's statistics.
Who? Kirk or Kurt?
That did sound like a Kurt. Was that your McLean accent?
Kirk.
That was a McLean accent.
That's that Virginia accent.
The drop thing to me is way overblown.
Okay. All right.
But not to say that you're wrong. I'm just telling you, in my opinion, Terrell Pryor absolutely 1,000,000,000% has to make that catch in the fourth quarter, pinned it back in there deep, right?
Right.
The first throw of the game is a bad throw, man. And I don't know how you could call that a drop.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we doing over-unders, or are we rehashing last week's game?
Pierre makes that catch, by the way.
A little from column A, a little from
Deshaun makes that catch. Okay. Pierre doesn't get that route.
Okay. In any case,
you're going over.
How many times would Pierre and Deshaun have thrown their arms up in the air after a play from last week, if they were there last week?
Yeah.
It would have been a lot.
A lot. And Pryor did a good job of trying to own that postgame. We talked about that on Wednesday, Taylor.
Stand-up guy.
I was impressed with that in what was clearly a frustrating day for him. And I was also impressed by his mock turtleneck. I don't know that I can pull it off. We talked about that on Redskins 100%.
Could not.
Zero. The over-under on that is zero. You got
V-Mitch
nothing.
Said I couldn't get it over my ears.
The Larry Eustachy look would not go well.
He's big on your ears.
He's as big on my ears as my ears are big on me.
Perfect. Great.
And they're not bad unless I just got my hair cut.
Is it as big as Chick is on Colin's?
Nobody.
All right, what do you got, JP, over-under?
Yeah, this over-under is going to take time. Game starts at this
point. I tend to be a contrarian. Everybody's going over. I go over on this one, too, though. I think they throw the ball with more efficiency. I think Kirk plays better. All right.
If we were in Vegas, they would have adjusted that line.
Well, just yeah. Anyway. We had it set at 275 because that's what it was last week.
That's a better number.
But at 275, he didn't come close last week, so I thought it had to be adjusted.
Two words.
I'm over 275.
Joe Barry.
Thank you.
He's not the D coordinator.
Doesn't
dude.
Matter.
No,
is
man.
Is he working?
All right.
Bum.
Mitchell, Rob Kelly, 50 rush yards.
Why don't you switch it up?
I'm good. I'm going to go under. I think Chris Thompson gets closer to 50 rush yards this week than Rob Kelly does.
All right. Mr. Chick.
That's why I said switch it up. Now, once again, I'm agreeing with...
Dude, it's okay. Like, Taylor and I had this argument. It's not bad if we agree.
And I'm going to be right, so you're in the right side.
Good point. And, no. I think under is, again, I think the rush game's still struggling. Absolutely struggling. And, no.
Okay. You're going under.
Under.
RT?
I don't know how much the rush game is struggling. I mean, how can you tell when they had 14 carries by
running
backs?
That's part of the struggle.
Right.
They don't call the game.
Which is which? Is it chicken or egg?
Yeah. The balance was not there from Jay Gruden.
No, not at all. Until I see, last year, the first couple of games, they did not run the ball. And they started 0-2. But I don't know if they'll learn from this or not. With or without Aaron Donald, they're still pretty strong up the middle. So I will go under.
I'm going over on this one, and I think they will commit to the run a bit more. I also looked last week, and despite that being a terrible blowout and the Colts were awful, Frank Gore had 10 carries for 42 yards. So Frank Gore is quite old at this point. And he's still getting 4.2 a pop.
I think he played with Mike Quick, right?
He might have.
Nice.
They were roommates
in
college.
Full circle.
But I just think if Rob Kelly gets to 10 carries again, he's going to get damn close to 50, and I think they'll get him 12, 13 carries. So I'm going over. All right. Our last one. Taylor, do you remember what it was? Because I got it here. But if you remember, you can start. I'll tee you up, and we'll go the opposite direction.
Okay.
Josh Doctson, who's been quite the hot topic this week, 3.5 catches.
Well,
he got zero.
The real question is, will he play the 35 or 40 snaps that Jay Gruden said that he would play on Monday? If he does, I think he'll get it. I will go over. I think he gets 4 catches.
Okay. Mr. Chick?
I say he gets 3.5 somehow.
You're taking Taylor's role being the pain in the ass.
Really? Okay. There's pills for that.
You can get half sacks. Why can't you get a half catch?
Exactly my point.
Maybe Terrell Pryor got a half catch last week.
Under for Josh Doctson. Under for Josh Doctson.
How far under?
You said over, under.
I know.
I'm giving you under.
So 3 or less?
2, you're lucky. Two, you're lucky.
Mr. Chick is not expecting much.
Not expecting. He hasn't shown me much, and I feel like Jay Gruden a little bit.
You were in Richmond. He showed in Richmond.
Yeah, so did Terrell Pryor.
But here's my thing. If we're talking about practice, when he was healthy and practicing, he looked great.
Talking about practice.
Exactly. Are we talking about practice?
We're talking about practice.
I'm not sure if we are, man.
I think we're talking about practice.
I'm not sure if we are. I know we're not talking about
the game. Not the game, but practice.
All right. Local celebrity, Mitch Tischler. 3.5 catches for Josh Doctson.
Flash comedian.
Over.
Over?
Over. I think this is a breakout game a little bit for him. I think, Taylor, you said 4 catches, I think?
Yes.
I think I'm going to say 6. I think Kirk goes to him early and often.
I'll split the difference. I'll say 5. I say over. Mr. Chick, I know you don't get in the prediction game. Mm-hmm. Taylor and I will be doing predictions as we get closer. Tischler, this is your chance for a prediction. And Mitch is not coming with us to L.A., by the way, which is quite lame. Your buddy who's getting married he picked a bad weekend.
Is this another wedding?
It is another wedding.
Who is it? Dan?
Dan, my buddy Dan.
Why are you getting married this weekend?
Have we counted how many weddings you know how many weddings you've had in the last 2 years.
There are a lot. There are a lot.
I would say
at least seven. Damn.
At least seven weddings.
That age is like 27, 28. You're like, I don't want to give away your secrets.
All right,
but
how about 10 years on the beat? This is the third game I've had to miss.
Sure, go bright side for you.
Via wedding.
Well,
via wedding.
2 years on the beat, guys, this is the second game.
No, the worst thing, guys get married during the football season.
That's what I said.
What?
Who gets married during the football season?
Forget that. We had an executive producer who got married during March Madness. March Madness, for heaven's sakes. Come on, stop it.
You're getting married at mid-court after the Sweet 16.
So you missed three games due to wedding and 2 to hangovers.
Broken ankle hangovers, whatever you want to call
it. Okay.
All right, same prediction.
Prediction. I think the Redskins are a banger this week, getting +2 in Vegas. Line makes no sense. I think there's a lot of love for the Rams, who played a really, really terrible team. I'm going something in the 38-21 range Redskins.
Ooh. I think they're going to punch it up a little bit.
Are they getting offense going to score 5 touchdowns? Are they going to get some defense, you think? Or?
I mean, are you going to ask me to predict a defensive or special teams touchdown?
No, I'm just conversationally, not a prediction.
Yes, I think there's going to be a lot of offense in this game. Okay. And as I said earlier, I think Chris Thompson gets a lot of carries this week. I think they're going to try and run him up in the middle a little bit. And I don't know if
why would you?
Rob Kelly's going to get as many. It's a changeup, man. The first time that Chris was in the game, teams know, at least they think, that's a pass. So they tried changing up last week, first play in. They ran a little end around. I think they're going to try and get him going a little bit more.
All right, real quick, we got to run. We've got an awesome interview coming up. But real quick, 30 for 30, year of the scab. I thought it was really cool. I don't remember any of that. Tischler, I'm guessing you don't remember
any of that.
You were still breastfeeding then, weren't you?
I was 5. I certainly hope not.
Certainly hope not, too.
It's possible.
But let's give me, I don't know if you guys got to watch it, but you guys were there. You were around. You knew this team at that point. How cool did? What did you think of the 30 for 30?
I haven't seen it yet.
Hard hitting analysis right there. How cool was that season?
I went through it.
Was it? Were you anti scab or pro scab?
I went to the game that was at RFK. I went to was that Monday night game against the Cowboys. Was watching on TV. I didn't.
Mr. Chick, were you there covering any of that?
I was in town. I was doing radio.
What station?
Mutual Radio. Larry Michael gave me my first job.
Okay.
But I distinctly remember the fact that the real Cowboys showed up and how, the Redskins went against them. And Joe Gibbs said, I don't care.
Right.
I'll coach you up.
Simple up or down vote. Should those guys get Super Bowl rings?
Did the team win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
They should get a ring.
Taylor?
No, I don't think somebody who played three games during the season should get a ring.
If it was some, if it was the regular team,
you know
what?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Time out for a second. So a guy who's been injured and didn't play but three games during the season, he shouldn't get a ring?
Okay, on the roster in any form. And not played games. B, you know, draw a salary from the organization for the entire. Like if the Redskins win the Super Bowl this year, Trent Murphy, even though he's on injured reserve all year, should get a ring. Okay, but if you were just if you bring in. Who's the McClure? Okay, let's suppose he gets cut after next week. He shouldn't get a Super Bowl ring.
Taylor's a hard-o, man.
I thought it was
binary Taylor.
I thought it was, first of all, a great documentary, and I agree with Taylor that they don't.
I think you and I are the only ones that watch it of the four of us,
which is fine. But
I will watch it.
They remember it from it happening.
Sure.
We don't.
Right. The way it's put together is far different than what.
Yeah, the documentary made a big deal about that Monday night game against the Cowboys that was for first place, and it may have been a huge upset. But they kind of slid in at the end. The Cowboys finished below 500 that year.
Right.
So even when the starters came back, it's not like they were a good team. Yeah. Am I wrong? Chandler's giving me a look.
No. Okay, I think I looked that up this morning. But I will point out, Redskins won the division by four games.
Right. So the guys went 3-0.
They tried to that's a good point.
They went 3-0. They're not in the playoffs.
They went 3-0.
They went 3-0.
Which is great. I'm not saying that wasn't a heck of an accomplishment.
Two of those teams were the Cowboys under 500 and the Jets, who were no good.
Still went 3-0. You're stabbed.
To me, it's a great story. Mm-hmm. Those guys got their $35,000 of a playoff salary, which is, as we know, in the late 80s, a massive sum of money for those guys. Yeah. They did just fine for themselves.
Let me ask you this. Are there three trophies in the case at Redskin Park?
There sure are.
Huh. Well, I would think that...
Are you saying those are representative of the three scab wins?
No, I'm saying those are that there's a trophy there from that Super Bowl, that season, that they were a part of. They were 3-0 for that. They were a part of it. Some, besides the monetary value, something else. All right, don't make it a championship
ring. I think they
should
bring them back this season. Bring them out at halftime. Let
honor
fans
them.
Cheer
absolutely.
For them. I think that would be really cool.
Give them a medallion. Give them a gold medal.
That will never happen.
I don't know why that won't happen.
I would be fine with it, but because the NFLPA would have an absolute blow their top
30 years ago,
minute.
Man. It's 30
they don't
years
care.
Ago.
It's
right.
still because you
that
know
I
what?
I agree with.
You know what? If if in 2021, whenever I think that's when that
you know what should happen.
If they try to do the same thing,
you know what should happen.
That you don't want to
publicize
that.
You
want to take the here's
I think they should be on the list of Redskins alumni. They
are.
Should be. I believe
they
the
said they weren't
said
in the documentary.
Documentary said that
they said they were not.
The scabs that played in just the three games, not the guys that they kept afterwards. The scabs that played in the three games and then went back to their lives were not on the Redskins alumni list.
What should happen is Joe Jackson Gibbs should, because the NFLPA will have Joe Gibbs be the one, it can be through the team or not, and have him honor those guys in some form or fashion.
Like on Twitter? Like send a bunch of tweets?
Twitter. You know, again, again, you laugh when I say I got a life.
By the way,
it's not really life.
Joe Gibbs, at the end of the documentary, which you guys will see, they asked him point blank, do those guys deserve a Super Bowl ring? And he wouldn't say yes, but he definitely, he didn't say no,
but he definitely didn't say yes. Yeah.
It was not ambiguous, ambiguously.
Sure.
He didn't think that they deserved a ring.
All right, before we get to this interview, I need a favor. If you guys want us to go more in on this 30 for 30, I'm kicking around doing a special 1987 podcast specifically, but I want to know if there's enough interest from our listeners. So hit me on Twitter and tell me if you like that idea or not, because I think we could kind of dig into it and have some fun, but I want to make sure kind of the interest level is there because we're busy as hell anyway.
And I think you should, because I've seen you, I think you should wear one of the shirts that you've worn, like when you look like you were 5 years old on that actual thing, because I've seen
a few of
those.
The Maplewood football jersey.
Maplewood. Two guys? You're Maplewood?
I was not a Maplewood.
Oh, Chick didn't see the picture because he has a life and isn't on Twitter.
Right. That's right.
JP posted his...
I'm a Maplewood guy.
JP's posted his magazine cover of from playing left guard at Maplewood. So
yeah. Wow.
I might make that my Twitter profile.
We do a all-jersey podcast.
Okay.
All right. Taylor, you got a jersey, dude? You got an old McLean High jersey?
By the way, I'll tease a quick funny story.
They didn't have jerseys back then.
Mr. Chick Hernandez did a Friday Night Football either show or special from my high school, my senior year, that I was there, which I have on VHS but have yet to watch yet. So that's going to be fun.
That goes down in the Redskins Talk history books as one of the worst stories ever told.
And Taylor's on it, which is bad.
All right. We got to go to this interview. You guys are going to love it. Mr. Chick, Mitch, RT, you're always on. I'm not thanking you. Mr. Chick and Mitch, thank you guys for coming on. This was fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can thank him, Taylor.
Oh, hey, thanks, guys.
All right.
Well, that was heartfelt. Find us on SoundCloud.
That was heartfelt.
Here comes the interview.
As good as it gets for me. Sorry.
That's great.
All right, folks. As promised, this is our interview with Junior Gallette. Junior, thank you for sitting down with us, man.
Thank you for having me.
Dude, thank you for sitting down with us. That's cool to be having you. Let's talk about your journey, man. Like, one thing I've always been impressed by is your love for Redskins fans the last 2 years. It's a little different now that you've played in the preseason, you've played in a regular season game, but now you always have been cool with the Skins fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I feel like they, you know, they have a lot of gratitude and just want to see their team win. I mean, I know how fans, you know, how ugly it can get, especially when you're not winning, but they, you know, we haven't really had much success since I've been here. I know I haven't played, but there haven't really been much success, and they just always, you know, wanted to see the guys do good. And I always see, you know, a lot of loyal fans that always just cheer for me. I'm like, I haven't even played it down yet. Just imagine it when I actually start producing on them. So it's really good, man. Really big fan base. And I'm just really thankful to just be part of such a functional organization.
And so when you weren't playing during those 2 years, did that kind of loyal following?
Yeah, that definitely helped. A lot of fans would reach out to me all the time, like constantly just, hey, you're my motivation. Like, you motivate me to just, you know, keep going at it, keep fighting. And, like, even though it's just from strangers, it just hits home because you just never know, you know, the impact that you have on other people, because there's other people that, you know, also have just, you know, probably got laid off from a job or something and just been going through some type of trial in their life. And for them to see you kind of still battling an uphill battle and always keeping the faith, it gives them motivation. And it also inspires me as well. Like, wow, I really have an effect on a lot of
people. Because you had your own battle.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's in a battle. You know what I'm saying? We all in a battle. It's never, you know... I always say this, it's never smooth sailing. It's rough waters in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you're always constantly fighting, you know, every day. No matter how good you think it is, you're always in a battle. Life's a roller coaster. You just got to keep striving and keep be even keel, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's really well said. So the first year, the first Achilles mm-hmm. injury, your reaction is what?
I mean, I cried. I knew when it happened. It was just so ironic. I had watched Kobe's Muse interview, like a documentary with Kobe Bryant, the night before, of when he was explaining how it felt when he tore his Achilles and how it felt like he got kicked in the leg. And I remember watching that. And when it happened, I just knew instantly when I was going down. Like, it felt like everything was going in slow motion. It felt like someone kicked me in the back of my leg. I turned around, there was no one there. And then, you know, instantly I just knew, damn, Achilles. And I went off. I went crazy. And, you know, a lot of teammates gathered around me and the training, the coaches. Jay was really upset. And, and one of the first people I saw when I was in the training room was Dan Snyder. He came up to me. He's like, hey, you're going to be here. You know, and I was like, what? What is, you know, it was weird. It caught me, you know, at a moment. Like, what is the owner even doing here in the training room? You know, speaking to me, obviously, you know,
what,
everyone
what did
just
that mean to you?
That meant a lot. You know, I was obviously frustrated in the moment where I didn't really want to see anybody, but it didn't hit me till after I got out of surgery, and you know, there was a jet waiting for me to come back. You know, to Ashburn and start my rehab, his private jet. So it meant a lot. You know, that they were so supportive of me, and I hadn't even played for them. So it was like, wow,
that's impressive.
This is definitely different. You know, so like, I'm going to do everything I can, which I did, train hard to get back.
Okay, so
that was the first one.
Right, that's the first one. So then again, it was the night before training camp, right?
Two nights before training camp.
Did you know the feeling right away?
I knew exactly, but it just wasn't as bad, and I wasn't as in shock as far as, like, the feeling, you know, because your body goes into shock, and other things, you know, there's complications there, but mentally, I was more shocked mentally. Physically, I was just like, I walked off on it. I was like, no way. I didn't want to believe it. So I called Larry Hess, the trainer. I was like, hey, you know, something's going on with my Achilles. I'm about to go to the hospital, nearest hospital, and get it checked out. I don't think I tore it completely because I'm walking off of it. The first time, I couldn't even walk.
Right.
There's no way. And went to the hospital. Obviously, it's not, you know, an expertise, you know, professional doctor. Right, exactly. NFL doctor. It's just like, hey, I think you just partially tore it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, abortion lead. That means I'm out for what? She's like, probably 8 to 12 weeks. Right? I'm like, oh, I'm good. This was, you know, 2 days before camp. That means I come back week four, week five.
Larry's like, has no idea.
Exactly. So I come in. Larry's like, nah, we got to get MRI. I come in here later the next morning for MRI, and he couldn't even look at me to tell me. He just said, you know, it's a tear. And I broke down again. I just couldn't believe it. I didn't know what to do. At that point, I wanted to retire. I was telling my agent.
That's
I was
what
like,
I'm wondering. Right. How close were you to quitting?
I wouldn't say quitting. It was just retiring. Right. Sorry. See, when you say when you put quitting on, it's just like there's no way I could go out like that. You know, and in the back of my mind, I know I say retiring just to, because that's what, you know, guys do when they come to devastating injuries back to back. It's still titles it quitting for me. You know what I'm saying? Even though I just didn't want to accept that fate and felt like, listen, if we're going to go out, you're going to go out on your terms. And, you know, God forbid something to happen again, let it happen, then it's not meant to be. But you're going to go out on your terms. You're going to get everything you got and fight like you've never fought in your life. And I did that, and here I am today, just blessed and thankful.
It's an incredible story. It really is. And those injuries are so devastating.
All right.
So you and I talked in the preseason, I want to say before the Bengals game.
Right.
But to me, and I asked you this, getting back on the field in the preseason was clearly important.
Right.
But running through that tunnel for week one, regular
season. It was different. It was definitely different.
What was – tell me the feeling.
I just felt back when – I went back to the last time I actually played and at the home stadium. Back then, I used to get my name –
Superdome.
Yeah, in the Superdome, get my name called, last person to come out, you know, and
people
the fans
going
nuts crazy. Right, exactly.
Cajuns going crazy.
And then I'm looking at, you know, obviously I came out first, you know, then I watched them do the lineup, and I watched them go crazy for Josh, and I'm like, man, that's the feeling I miss, you know what I'm saying? It's like I had that, and that's what I'm fighting to get back again for the fans to be, you know, to have that impact, for your name to be called, to be last one out, and you're just going crazy, that adrenaline. So
I don't know if Jano's going to let you be the last one out.
Well, I mean, I got a few things I got to worry about first, but I'm saying that's the things I miss.
Right.
But like I said, I just got to keep getting better each day. You know, took a huge step in coming back last week, and, you know, I know I only played about 14, 16 snaps.
Do you feel like you played the right amount? You want to be out there more. He's smiling. The folks listening can't. All right, now they can hear.
Why did you ask that?
You want to be out there every third down, I'm guessing.
I want to be out there every down. I don't know where this third down stuff came from, where I just, you know, supposed to be third down, but I want to be out there every down. You know, I've always been a player that just played the game, you know, with passion every down. There's no, you know, I've never had an issue with that. You know, it's, you know,
so
less.
You don't want to be eased back, but do you think it makes
sense?
No, why the coaches
I never
want
said them? Anything okay, about not okay. wanting to be eased back. I said I'm an every down player.
Do you want to be out there more, or are you ready for it?
We're just going to have to see. Of course I want to be out there more, but am I ready for it? I feel like I am. We go out there every day in practice, and I get tons of reps. So, I mean, at the end of the day, listen, you know, we have a terrific coach, and I believe in the process, and I trust in it. So, you know, I'm going to do whatever, whether it's 15 snaps or 30 snaps. I'm going to go out there and give everything I can and be as passionate as I am about the game as, you know, the fans are expecting. So they're going to get 150%.
Call me crazy, but I have a feeling the snaps will increase.
Listen, like I said,
right?
Whether it's 15, 10 snaps, or if it's one snap, I'm going to go out there and just, you know, it's going to be different when I go in there.
Now, obviously – the snap counts aren't up to you, but is there value in rotating the pass rushers to keep
them
fresh?
Yeah, I mean, my last 2 years when I was in New Orleans, it was, you know, I think we were at a point where we were like 6-0. You know, I think we were about to play the Patriots, and I remember, you know, a coach just saying, like, hey, you know, we've been playing about 50 snaps a game. We want to kind of bring it down about 35 snaps. You know, it's a 65-70 play game. I'm like, man, that's half the game. Why would you want to do that? And I think
why?
I don't know why it was. At the time, I was confused. Like, why? Why would you want to keep your players out of the game? I don't get it. He's like, nah, you're a different type of player. You know, we want to refresh a fourth down. I mean, not fourth down, fourth quarter. You know, to this day, I listen. They know more than I do as far as, you know.
You don't believe that.
I wouldn't say I don't believe that, but there's times where I've seen it work.
Okay.
You know, where I do feel fresh, but there's times where I've played 60 snaps and went in out there and got a 3-sack game and, you know, 10 tackles and had an amazing game. So, I mean, it all depends on how the game is going. There's a lot of variables that come into play, but, you know, what thing we have here, though, is a lot of depth.
That's
we got a lot of guys that can play the game, so I don't have to – you know, I'm 29 years old. I don't have to play 50, 60 snaps. And, you know, hopefully, you know, Ryan or, you know, Preston don't have to do that with the depth and quality of rushes or quality of defensive play that we can get from other guys besides, you know, Ryan and Preston.
Is it confusing to say Ryan in the OLB room now because you got Anderson and Kerrigan turning their heads?
What do you mean?
Because there's Ryan Anderson and Ryan Kerrigan.
Oh, no, I just call.
What, is it just Rook?
Nah, I just call him Ryan. I mean, I just, you know, call.
Did they ever, like, both turn around?
Well, when we first came the first day, definitely it was like, we're just going to call Ryan Kerrigan, Ryan. And we're going to call Ryan Anderson, Mr. Anderson from The Matrix. You know how he kept
like
saying Mr.
Anderson.
Yeah, Manessa said that. I don't call him Mr. Anderson. I call him Fat Boy.
Fat Boy? He's not. Where'd that come from?
That's just what I call him, to me and him.
I'm sure he loves it. That's a good answer.
No, he's a hard worker, man. And like I tell him all the time, like, you know, you're a rookie playing. I didn't even play my rookie year. And granted, it's different. You know, you're playing on a team where I feel like in an OLB room, I've never been part of such talent in that room. I feel like, you know, Ryan Anderson could start, you know, I feel like damn near anywhere in any other team in the league. I feel the same way as for myself. So, you know, I tell them, like, you're part of a talented group, man. We got a lot of talent here, so you got to just appreciate that you're even playing and you're healthy and just taking one day at a time. So he's going to be real good.
Two guys in your room got hurt. Trent Murphy's gone for the year. Ryan Anderson's dealing with that stinger that cost mm-hmm. him, you know, a lot of time, at least in preseason.
Right.
Did you talk to either, reach out to either while you were going through that stuff?
I reached out to Trent immediately when he came on the sideline. Just, you know, I already saw his eyes were a little glossy and that. You know, there's so much pain, more mental than physical, because I know the battle. And I just told him, like, hey, man, you got to keep your head up right now. I know as you know, repetitive that sounds, like, you just really have to keep your head up and fight through that storm because, you know, it can't rain forever. I just would text him also. I literally text him probably a few days prior, like, man, you're having an awesome camp. Like, you're inspiring me.
I thought he was having a really good
camp.
Right,
you're inspiring me to, you know, get better and just, you know, keep pushing it. We're looking real good. Just overall, we got so much depth and we got so many. I've never been around a team like that. So, you know, it's a very unfortunate situation. But if anybody knows, as I do. So, I missed 2 years in a row coming off the peak of
right,
my career.
Sure. And that with with Mr. Anderson, did you say anything to him?
As far as what?
Coming through that stinger.
Oh, no, we knew it was, like, not a serious injury. Yeah. I just, you know, obviously he's frustrated. And, he's come through, you know, obviously a prestige program where he, you know, he can battle through those injuries. But when you're in a business, it's like, why do that? You know, you're right. A second-round pick, and we got one guy that already went down. Let's not, you know, make this something bigger than what it is. Take your time. You're going to be fine.
One thing I got to ask the fans want to know, how did you – come up with your stance? There's nobody else that gets in a four-point with their head so low like you do. I haven't seen it anymore.
Yeah, it was when I did it in college, but it was more like a three-point with my hand up. But when I got to New Orleans, I had a coach, defensive line coach Bill Johnson. He always taught me the four-point. He's like, you're going to get a four-point stance. I was so confused. I was like, why won't we four-point stance? And he would just teach me everything about, like, power and just energy and just electrical stuff and just the law of physics and how power moves in a straight line. And I just started embracing it, reading a lot about it. And he was right, and just got more flexibility on my hips to actually go down and crouch down a little bit more.
And with your speed.
Right.
Man.
So
yeah.
And even if I'm not going off the edge, it intimidates a lot of offensive linemen, as if I'm going, you know, around the edge, I can come inside because they, you know, they just see that and they're like, he's coming around the edge.
Right.
Right. And then I just, give him exactly come inside. So it works both ways. And just mentally for offensive linemen as well, it works, you know, affects them.
You know, I was a guard in Pee Wee. Right. You think you could have handled, tried that?
I hope so.
Me?
I hope so.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I'd be in trouble if I couldn't.
I think so. I think so. All right. We've talked a lot about real on the field football stuff. What about off the field? Like, what are you watching on Netflix? What restaurants do you like in Ashburn?
Ashburn, of course, the restaurants. Ashburn restaurants. So, DC Prime, of course. It's
what's your go to?
My go to restaurant.
You a ribeye guy?
I literally would go there for the cream corn.
You go to a steakhouse for cream corn?
Yeah, for cream corn. They have a cream corn there that it's amazing. And, you know, every time I go there, it doesn't fail me. But I get some shrimp and the lobster bites and the cream corn. I literally just order that.
All right, I need to go try it. I like cream corn.
Cream corn is amazing over there.
You're a New Yorker, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Are you a New York pizza snob?
Not right now. I had to control my diet.
Okay.
So, but when I was, like, I had gotten... I was bad. My diet, I was bad.
What? Oh, when
I
had rehab?
Before I was, like, when I had let go, because the Achilles, you have about 3-4 months till you can actually really start rehabbing, you know?
Right.
And those 3 months, I was, you know, it's going from L.A. to Miami, just like, I don't care. I'm not even thinking about tomorrow. I was just in a dark place. So I was eating all types of pizza and burgers and, you know, I had got up to, I was up there. My weight?
Yeah.
I don't even want to say
it. Your agent's like, do not tell him that.
But I was up there. But I knew, you know, once I had, you know, never lost my passion for the game, I just had to get back around the guys and just say, you know what? I love football. You know what I'm saying? This is what I love doing, not, you know, going out and doing all the other stuff. That's meaningless. It doesn't last forever. You can be part of a winning culture and then – do some things that, you know, look at these guys up on the walls.
Yeah.
And I pass it every day and I see, you know, like, you know, Dexter Manley just
it's Dexter amazing. Reached out to you personally at all?
No, not really.
He's around still.
Yeah, I've spoken to Daryl Green a few times.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Charles Mann was a great pass rusher for this team.
Exactly. Yeah. Charles Mann, I watched the old videos of those guys and, you know, what they brought to the table. I'm like, man, those are, you know, obviously goals. These guys are legends, and obviously fans still rave their name. Like, you can be the next Dexter. I'm like, nah, don't compare me to –
just trying to be Junior.
Just trying to be Junior Gallet, you know. But I appreciate that, and these guys obviously are just legends for them. Their names would still be ringing bells because they brought some titles over here.
So you didn't answer my question, though. And what I mean by New York pizza snob is there are people from New York that are like, oh, pizza everywhere else sucks. It's only good if it's from New York.
Listen – I wouldn't say it's only good if it's from New York, but there's no pizza that's better than New York pizza. That's a fact.
Like, every other block, the original Ray's is not that good. That's all I'm saying.
What do
like,
you mean
the
Ray's?
City,
like,
when you're in the city.
You talking about Manhattan?
Yeah, every Ray's claims
it's
the original.
Yeah, but if you go to, like, Long Island, you go to Brooklyn, or even Jersey got some
legit.
Good pizza,
yeah,
too.
I agree.
But that's, like, right over the bridge, and, you know, they bite off a lot of New York, so.
Are you a bagel guy at all? Because people are the same with New York bagels.
I used to be.
But now you can't eat bagels.
Yeah,
that's
I don't eat bread.
Carbs.
I stay away from bread and all them carbs. But, yeah, I'm definitely pizza, bagel, donuts. I can't.
You crushed beignets when you were down in New Orleans?
Yeah, I crushed everything when I was in
New Orleans. That's a good food. You wonder why they call
cold
them
cuts,
Fat Rob.
The cold cuts in New York?
Yeah. The Italian stuff.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Trent, you're welcome to join us. So I forgot to set the stage. I always tell the listeners where we are. They used to call this the Redskins slums. Y'all still call it that?
I don't know what it's called. So, I haven't been around in 2 years.
It's the couches outside of the locker room, between the locker room and the weight room, is where Junior and I are.
Yeah,
right,
this don't look like the slums where I'm from.
Sure. It's a pretty nice leather couch.
Yeah.
All right. I know you got to get moving. What are you watching on TV? You didn't tell me.
I watched a lot of Power, but the season, I think the season 4 or 5 just got finished. It's an amazing show. Other than Power, this new cartoon I started watching, it's so funny, Brickleberry. It's pretty bad. I think Taj Point O is like the director.
All right, so it's like not a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, it's definitely – no, I shouldn't have said that. Huh?
Yeah,
no. It's not. Yeah, it's not a kid's cartoon.
There's
so.
Not kids listening. Maybe, all right. But we're good.
Yeah, Brickleberry, Power.
I just started Ozark. Have you heard of Ozark?
Somebody else told me watch that. I haven't
so
watched
I
that.
I watched it on the plane to and from Tampa. I'm going to watch a couple going to L.A.
It's pretty
legit.
And then, like, Big Cat Diary. I always watch, like, Big Cat. Watching, like, the cheetahs and the lions chase, like, they prey.
That's you and your 4-point
Yeah, exactly.
Stats,
I watched that cheetah crawling. It's like stride for stride with the gazelle. It's amazing.
Right. All right. I want to let you run. I know you got meetings and such to get to. This is your opportunity. You're talking directly to Redskins fans. Anything you want to tell them?
I appreciate them, and, you know, as long as I just get on the field and I'm healthy, they're going to get, you know, the most exciting player that they've seen here in quite a while, and just the most one of the most passionate people. We got a lot of passionate players, but I'm just going to bring something different. I don't know what they call it. It's just going to be different when I come out.
You better be glued to your seats. Honestly, it's a charisma.
I'm
going to
bring that energy.
Energy is very real, man. It's that New York, whatever it is, man. It's there.
I don't know what to call it, but yeah.
Junior,
it's going to be different
much,
when I pop
man.
Out.
You are welcome on Redskins Talk Podcast anytime.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. All right.
Thank you.
I'm out of here.
All right.
That was a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. Let us know what you think on Twitter, on Facebook, all the social media angles. You can yell at me on Instagram if you want to. I am Instagram and Snaps. I never really plugged that. I am at JPFinley3. And then Twitter is JPFinleyCSN. Facebook is Facebook.com/JPFinleyCSN. We're available all those platforms. Let us know what you think. Make sure you're subscribing to this podcast. I would sincerely appreciate it. You guys are a lot of fun. Get your Survivor pool picks in. Somebody's getting something out of Tandler's closet, I promise. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.